The Joy Unleashed show empowers and inspires women to reclaim their joy. We provide tools, resources, and connections to help you unlock your true potential through engaging conversations, expert insights, and transformative stories. We create a vibrant and inclusive community where women can break free from the limitations that hold them back. I'm Joyologist Colleen Greco, and it is my honor to be your host. Let's get right into the show. If you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you don't quite know your purpose, or maybe you know it, but you just can't find the path toward it. If you're uncomfortable in your own skin and want to finally master self-love, then we need to talk. I'm Colleen Greco, and I'm your Joyologist. I help women just like you to reclaim the joy they feel is missing in their life through mindset coaching and nutrition coaching. Whether you have weight to lose or simply need to get your gut in check, I've got you. We'll work together to retire limiting beliefs. Those are the stories that are keeping you from your purpose. I need you to hear me. Those are the stories that we need to get rid of in order to get you on your path to your purpose. We will work together to get you that life you've always dreamed of. It would be my honor to connect with you. Reach out to me via Instagram at @ColleenGreco or email Colleen@ColleenGreco.com. Let's get you back to the show. Now, this episode is brought to you by Lignum Wealth Management. I've worked with Mark at Lignum for over 15 years. And before you get your mind racing, wealth was not, and maybe will ever be, a term in my vocabulary. It's more like survival is how I started. And how to really develop a plan, 1-0 at a time. How do I plan for the future now? So that was our mindset. And you know, I spend my days coaching clients on ways to improve their well-being, and finances are a very core part of your overall well-being. Ignoring it doesn't make the problem go away. In fact, it makes it worse. And you wake up years down the line wishing that you had taken that first step towards a plan. With Mark, he takes a very personalized approach to coaching, and it's all about your financial goals, not his. And he'll provide you sensible solutions and referrals to other experts that help you with your situation. Having a coach like Mark guide our family through the various stages of life allows me to focus on what I do best. So take the first step today towards a solid financial future and contact Mark at Lignum Wealth Management. His information's in the show notes. He's had my family's back for over 15 years. Welcome back to the Joy Unleashed show. I am Colleen Greco, your resident joyologist and humble host for today. And today I am fangirling out. Kennedy is, okay, so this is also my 50th episode. And I have the honor, just the stars and moons aligned. She said, yes, I have Kennedy. She is she's famous, at least in my world. I don't care what she says, but in my world, she's famous. She is a Boston radio host. Hostess, and just an all-around amazing woman, really important in the mental health space. And we just shared a moment, but we're going to continue it because I am loving it. So Kennedy, thank you for being on the show today.
I am honored. Thank you for thinking of me. It means a lot.
Oh, okay. So we just were talking about the 2012 Boston Marathon. It was 92 degrees. Everybody told me, just defer. You know what?
The Kenyans dropped out that year. Just remember that.
Yeah. And next to me while I was running, they were dropping flies. The overflowing. And it was so hot. And I had already been through some of the misting tents and whatever. At mile 5, I had a massive blister on the side of my big toe. I don't know what a bunion is, but I'm picturing one kind of a thing. And my husband was so great. At mile 10, he jumped in. And he never left my side. There were points where I was holding on to his backpack, being just.
Oh, no, I love him. Oh,
he's the best. Steve Greco, Kennedy says she loves you. Just so you know. But I was, I don't know, delirious might have been the word. And he's that's Kennedy. I was no, it's not. I'm the only stupid idiot here still running because it's so hot. And he's
I refuse to quit.
And Ray Allen's mom was around us too. That was right.
She was
around,
right in front of me. Yep. She finished right in front of me.
That was in Newton, I think it was, or Wellesley, when I had seen you guys. And then I also had Rudy from The Biggest Loser, who had his, I don't know, pack of 50 trainers with him. And
yeah,
he's like about to pass me. And my husband's like, he's right behind you. I was like, oh no, he's not. Sorry, yeah, was, I draw the line. Love you, Rudy.
Wild
no.
ride. Yeah. 7 hours and 9 minutes.
Oh man. And when
but
they were
we did it.
They carried the markers away. And I remember yelling, like, don't.
No, there was a point at which cars were driving next to me. I mean, literally, but
yeah.
We were sort of in a pack at that point. We were all walking. And then I was walking with a girlfriend of mine, and her husband came up and said, babe, they're going to start cutting people off at 7 hours. So you need a hustle. So she put the pedal to the metal and started running. I really didn't have that much left in me until I made the turn. And then when you see the finish line, you're like, I can see it. And it's like a dream that you're like, it's yeah. not far, but it seems like it's forever away and it's not getting any closer. And I just, yeah, that was the day that will live with me for the rest of my life. You know, they say something like only 1% of people run a marathon in their lives. So it's something to be proud of to finish it, no matter how long it takes.
Huge accomplishment. And then at the end, all I wanted was the Sam Adams 26.2 brew and I couldn't find it. And I was like, that is what made me crumble.
Oh, I ended up in the med tent with an IV. So I was massively dehydrated. So all my pants were covered in salt. It was, my lips were blue. It was a moment. But
look
at us now.
You are such a huge mental health advocate. I'm so grateful that you're, you know, even willing to make the time to be on the show. A little bit about my story is that my son, when he was 10, had a suicide attempt, and that really rocked the whole family to our core, as you might imagine. And it really caused me to reevaluate everything in my life and realized I was dying, you know, in my job. I was dying in my life. There was no joy anywhere to be found. And that was the moment that made me say, like, I got to do better. I have to do better for him. I have to do better for my family. And initially I didn't handle it well. I ate and drank a lot for a number of months before I got it together. But joy became the foundation of it all. And joy is how we actually healed our family. And so I can say now, six and a half years later, I like to say he's annoying me the way any teenage boy should.
And that is winning.
I am grateful for the annoyances and the overspending that happens and the messy room, because there were days when I didn't think that was possible. And so that trauma put me on my path to my calling, which is that of a joyologist, helping women to reclaim their joy through mindset coaching and nutrition coaching. And so that's where, you know, the show was basically born.
I can't imagine what that must have been like for a 10-year-old to feel so feel too much or not enough. And that's, that is brutal. So I applaud you for looking at it head on and fixing the problems. So often we just don't talk about it. You know, it's such a stigma around suicide. Don't talk about it.
And
it's a failure. It's a failure or something, or it becomes about you. What didn't I do? What didn't whatever? And all of that valid. But I think that, you know, the conversations we're having around that now, to have more open and honest conversations, to give people space where they can talk about their problems. You know, I think being a young person, especially these days, I couldn't have done it, you know, with social media being what it is and all that. And I just, there's so much out there, and I don't know, I'm a little scattered just thinking of your boy, but I'm so grateful that you guys are in this space now and that you find the help you needed and that you found a space that you can all be in and that he can thrive now, because that's what's important.
Oh, he is. And thank you. I mean, you can look back on it now with gratitude. Of course, as we were going through it, I would have never been able to dream of a moment when I could be thankful and look at him without that label. And I don't even see him that way anymore, which is just like, that's how you know you've really healed. But I can't allow that to just be. I feel like I have to use that in order to show people like you can overcome. There are tools out there. There are a lot of tools that don't work, by the way, but there are a lot that do work. And a lot of it has to do with our own mindset. And you've done a lot of work in the community and on yourself, of course, and you've been really, really open about it, which I'm like so thankful for. But you know, tell us like what is your experience with people when they feel stuck? What is the thing that gets them to just take that first step and do something towards getting them on the path to healing?
I think just being heard, plain and simple. Just somebody listening to you and saying, I hear you. Not trying to give you things you should do. I think the word should is a swear, and I swear all the time.
I actually say that it's the worst S word you can use.
I have such a problem with it. And whenever I catch myself saying it, I try and back up because it's telling someone what to do ostensibly. And I think that there's something there that's not something we should do. And I think at the end of the day, people just want to know they're being heard. We have become so isolated, you know, especially since COVID, a lot of people still work from home. And I love that they can do that, but we stopped hanging out with each other. We stopped a lot of that. I am part and parcel of the way I deal with stuff is to hibernate, to not leave my house, to do those sorts of things. And there are times you can feel really alone, even in a house full of people. Mm-hmm. And to just have one person say, I hear you, I see you, how can I help? And that's really it, because I'm not a mental health professional. As I try and tell folks, because a lot of times, you know, folks will reach out and say, I feel this and I don't know what to do. And it's a hard space to be in sometimes, because I know I have to protect my mental health and my spirit and my energies, which has been a big learning curve for me, but something I think I've gotten down pretty good these days. I don't let in what I don't need to, and I don't feel bad about it. And so I try and move them towards places where I know tools are, you know, for folks who are living with someone who has died by suicide or had an attempt. You know, I'm on the board for Samaritans here in Boston, who does so much good work with their crisis line and our new Hey Sam program for young people, that there are spaces and places to find that help. And I know trying to find a doctor these days is so hard. But then there's all of these other spaces, you know, like the online things that you can do, even if you just need someone to talk to you now. But I think at the end of the day, people just want to be heard. And that's it.
We decided in the early days that we were just going to love on him, because there were no doctors or therapists that were willing to work with us. And I think part of that was because of his age. I know we're in Boston, guys. Like, how is that possible? But it's true. And it was just sort of a comedy. Yes. But it was okay, because it really caused us to have to, you know, get really introspective, work together as a family and say, like, if we're going to get through this, we've all got to be aligned. We have to talk things through. I don't care how painful it is, we're talking about it. And luckily that panned out really well for us. And I think also learning through that entire experience that love is the answer to everything.
100%.
If you just pour love on something, it'll all work out. And that's hard in your mind, I think, to conceptualize. But when you're in full alignment, your head and your heart are aligned, and you can love on something so much, like, to me, that is the best weapon, the best antidote out there.
Yeah. Because I think when you're going through those episodes, you can't feel any of it. You really can't. Yeah. You know, I felt nothing. You would feel absolutely nothing, and feeling nothing is really gross. So to find a way to help somebody feel something at all and let it be a good thing is 100%.
I'm so grateful that you're so open about it, but you're creating space for the conversation without absorbing, which I think is a delicate balance. So how do you deal with that? You know, because again, you are a public figure, right? Everybody, yeah. Everybody knows you. You don't know everybody. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, a lot of the people I speak with aren't face-to-face, you know, a lot is through social media or email or whatever, or on the phone in the studio. And so that creates a little bit of space. But on days that I know I'm going to be doing something, like if I'm hosting something or if I'm going to be giving a talk or be at an event that will be, you know, big energies, I psych myself up a little bit. I let myself know that this one's going to get a lot of feels, and that's okay. And then I make sure that I have time afterwards or the next day to spend that time with myself, to not try and book myself out the next day, because I know it's going to hit me a little bit. But I've been working real hard in therapy about all these things. So it's getting better and easier, because I know I can just, you know, some stories you hear and they're just not going to leave you, this yours being one of them. And I think that you have to find a place to put it where you can still care for it, but it doesn't affect your day to day. You know, we can hear stories that are so sad or so brutal, and they live with you, but you have to find the space to say, how, you know, I'm going to take this, I'm going to keep it with me, because it's important to remember this lesson, but the rest I got to let go. And it's not easy to do at all. And I'm not saying I've mastered it, but I've found that you have to be kind of selfish. And I think that's another word, that's an S word, that's gotten a real bad whatever. Like, you shouldn't be selfish, you should give of others. No, you should 100% be selfish, because just like they say on the airplane, you put your oxygen mask on first, because if you can't breathe, you can't help anybody else breathe.
You're absolutely right. I talk about this all the time with clients, is that you have to put yourself at the top of the priority list. Because when you're not, you know, running at full, like at high octane, the rest of your like ecosystem doesn't work.
Yeah. And you can't fix it all. You can't.
Right.
I don't care who you are. You can't. So yeah. Don't try. Just do the things that you know you can do. Be the support you know you can be. But if you start giving pieces of yourself that you don't have to give, it's just going to be to your detriment.
Yeah. And you end up so depleted, burnt out. I mean, that was a really hard lesson to learn. I can remember being right on that rug, right out in front of our front door, saying like, this is not my life. I didn't sign up for this. This isn't who we are. And then saying literally in the next breath, well, then who are we? Who do I want to be? Like, I need to figure this out. And I just knew that it was going to take just finding what I like to call joy in the smallest of moments, right? So I have my dogs here, and knock on wood, they will not wake up while we're talking, but they're so cute. And if you take them for a walk and they're doing something stupid and frolicky, it's like, that's joy. Like, tap into that type of energy. And if you look, it's all around you, but we become so blinded by the thing that
we're just angry. We are an angry group of human beings right now.
Yeah.
And that could be from many different spaces, and I'm not going to put a name on it, but like, we are an angry group of humans. We are constantly expecting everybody else to do for us, and it's never good enough, and all of this. And I just try, I mean, I have great anger too. It's in there a lot, but I try to, like you say, find the joy. Like, I've often said, you know, there's something about a little kid like rolling down a hill, laughing uncontrollably, because this is the coolest thing they've ever done. And I'm like, I would love to roll down that hill. I would get sick, but but just remembering that there was a time in your life where everything was new and everything was novel and everything was, what's next? And I think we've all gotten so, what's next? Instead of being like, oh, the sun is shining today. That alone in Boston right. Should be a cause for celebration, you know, and finding the joy in those little things, continuing to kind of have that childlike awe about you, no matter how old and crotchety and jaded and blackened heart you get, to try and back up for a minute and be like, oh, that's a nice thing. Even just that can shift your mood and shift your day.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I have stolen this phrase from my coach, this childlike curiosity, where it's like, I wonder what, and she'll say things sometimes like, what if everything you used to know is no longer true? and you're like, well, I guess I could do that, right? Like, it's like all of a sudden things become an adventure, and we've lost the ability to sort of like gamify our day and really try to have like fun with it, instead of thinking like I have to go to the next meeting and then the next meeting and I have to do this and it's trash day and whatever and like all these responsibilities. Like, how about taking a few minutes and rolling down the hill?
Yeah, put it on your calendar that
you're maybe not in a dog park, but like other hills.
Yeah, or like, you know, put it in your calendar like it's work, that I'm going to go take a walk at 12:30. I'm going to go see a movie, or I'm going to go read a book. I'm going to give myself time to journal, whatever your thing is, man, roller skate. I don't know, but you got to put it on your calendar. It has to be just as important as your work and as your schedule and all that. I think
one of the questions I love to ask is, you know, lots of people have a daily routine that kind of helps set themselves up for the day. Do you have something that you tend to, you know, follow first thing in the morning or last thing at night, you know, that kind of helps you stay grounded?
I wake up at 3:30 in the morning. So it is always a race. No matter how many years
I've been. You're not just like contemplating life at 3:30 in the morning?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't have, you know, a lot of these lists that you read, ways to have a good day or things billionaires do in the morning. Like, I don't have that kind of nothing. I get up, I do my things, and I'm at work by like 4:20, something like that. but I make my bed every morning, every single morning. You know, I take the dog out. I used to do this thing and I've gotten away from it. And I was thinking about it this morning that I need to anyway. I would come down into the kitchen. I would put a song. I would ask my Alexa to play me a song. And then I would dance in the kitchen a little bit before I left for work, just to give myself a little dance party to begin the day. Yeah. Because this morning I was like, why don't I do that anymore? I should do that. And so I think I'm going to get back on that. But I'm a very big creature of habit. I do the same things every day. It brings me comfort. I prefer to park in the same spot. I prefer to sit in the same chair. And I realized that they say you shouldn't, they or there, you should do those things. You should shake it up a little bit for your brain. But if I know that that's going to keep me hanging on for the day, then that's what I do. But, you know, to be honest, in answer to your question, I don't have any like one thing that I don't journal before I go to bed. I don't say what I'm grateful for. I should. And I found that times that I have, I benefited from them. I've gone back and read some of the journals that I would write in, the gratitude stuff especially, and been like, oh yeah, that was a really wonderful thing that happened that day. But yeah, there are times I think I'm just hanging on by my fingernails, and yeah. I got to get through the day. I spend time with my dog, a lot of time with my dog, and he is saves my life every day. But I try to do something every day that I know will make me smile. And some days it's a rough day. And some days all that is watching a Simpsons episode. And if I can get through that, then all right, I've done a good job.
Sometimes the win is just waking up, even if you don't want to, right? Like it can be really tough. And I know for me, sometimes when I'm, you know, cause I have my own mental health challenges. And for me, if I'm like in it, sometimes I don't want to journal. Sometimes I'm like, no, I'm just like, I just like, I'm aggravated. And the idea of journaling is aggravating. And by the way, I wrote a journal. So like, I advocate for journaling. But there's times where you just have to allow yourself, like give yourself the grace to just sit in it sometimes and not. Yep.
And I definitely do that.
Like allow it to marinate a little bit. And there's a lesson that you're meant to learn. I talk a lot about mirroring and how the thing that is agitating you about that person is a lesson that you're meant to learn. And I have one I'm going through right now. And I'm like, I don't want to look at it. It's annoying me. I don't like the topic. I'm just going to set it away for another day. And the funny thing is, I know it isn't going to go away. It's going to like poke at me all day long until I deal with it, but I don't want to deal with it. So like, the more you can give yourself grace, and back to that love is the answer to everything, the more you realize, oh my gosh, I'm human. It's like, that's the punchline. We're all human and we're all just trying to, you know, do our best.
Yeah.
The day and, you know, make the world a little bit nicer than how we found it. And so I would say with complete conviction that you do that. And that might just be it for the day, which is awesome.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. Well, I skipped over my favorite question because I got so fangirled in the beginning, but that's okay. Cause it's my show. So whatever.
You do what you like. 100%. I didn't know you missed it. No one knew you missed it. Don't ever let them know. Don't ever let them know.
I do love to show like all my imperfections because the list is long, girl. By the way, long. I have to share this.
But distinguished.
Do you see this little baby?
Yeah.
Mama got her first set list. I was at Dave Matthews in Mexico, and I didn't even know that was like an important thing until the guy was like, take the set list.
Erin O'Malley was there from our midday show. Erin O'Malley was there with her sister. She's gone the last 2 years. She had one of the balconies that was up for like best balcony.
Oh yeah. Oh
she
no.
She brought two suitcases. One was filled with nothing but decorations. The woman is amazing.
I love that. I love the balconies. I don't know if she was the one with like the monkeys and the pigs, because that one was really
cute. No. Really cute. I can't remember exactly what her said, but and you know, I'm just gonna on a side note here, Erin O'Malley would be an incredible interview because that woman exudes joy on a daily basis. It's wild. It is a warm hug to be around her at all times.
I would love the introduction, and I am going to show it. Off my set list. But
she will lose her mind.
But my favorite question is really so basic, but it can be pretty profound too. What does joy mean to you? I know.
I feel like it's something that you feel deep down inside from a space where we don't touch a lot, that it's something that you can't manufacture or buy. We try to. You can't drink it and you can't smoke it and you can't purchase it and you can't any of those things. It is not tangible, but you know it when you have it. And I feel that when you're in a moment of that, and especially if you're sharing it with others, like you're all in that moment together and you don't even have to say a word and you're just like, this is the best, isn't it? I feel like those are the moments, things that make you smile without thinking about it, things that make everything else kind of fade away. And you can like, that brings me joy. And I'm so happy about that. And to be able to recognize that and say it out loud, you know, I say that a lot. To things and people when they're around me, I'll be like, that brings me such great joy to know this about you or whatever, because it does. And we don't do it enough. We're just mad all the time. So finding the joy is important, whatever that looks like to you. Because I think it looks probably different to everybody.
It is a little different for everyone, but everybody who has experienced it does talk about that it is an inward knowing, that it's just there. It's a state of mind. It's a like conscious choice. It isn't the result of something else. Like happiness is like, you said you like my hair today and I'm like, oh, thanks. Right. That's happiness. That's not joy. Joy is not even needing that, knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a materialistic
moment. Yeah.
It's knowing you're a beautiful human, not that you're having a good hair day.
So. Although good hair days.
Oh, am I today? Because this was just air dry. And I was like, uh-oh, okay. Well, here we go.
We love
could also deal with like top bun Colleen, which is also a look.
Well, she comes out a lot. Till Kennedy today. So yep.
I love it. Any parting thoughts? I mean, I could talk to you for hours and would threaten that if you'd let me, but any parting thoughts?
If you are hurting, if you are not feeling like yourself, if you think you're all alone, and if you think you're the only person feeling what you're feeling, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. But we are all feeling something in some way, shape, or fashion, that we are all going through it. And I don't want to say you're not special. That's not what I mean. But I mean to say you're not as crazy as you think you are. You're not as any of that, and that there is help out there, and that if you ask for it, you will receive it. And if you don't receive it, go somewhere else. Because if you're surrounding yourself with people who don't want to help you, first of all, that's a no-go.
But there are so many places that want to help you. And I'm so grateful that we're in a space where you can go a couple of clicks on your computer and you can find some help. And I just don't want anyone to ever think that they're all alone, because that is the worst feeling on the planet, to think that you're the only person feeling what you're feeling, that you're the only person who's this sad, that you're the only person who's this angry, or you're the only person who's this anxious. I promise you're not. And I promise that most people want to be helpful. And if you can't find the help, send me an email. And I'll do what I can to try and find you at least one resource that could be helpful to you. But, and if you are, and I say this a lot too, that, you know, people often say to me, you know, I see your Instagram, your life is so good. You do all these really cool things. And how can you be sad? How can you be depressed? How can you have anxiety? How can you have any of those things? And here's what I'll tell you. Social media is a giant liar. And I mean, to say that we put our best foot forward typically on those things, and those pictures are retouched and whatevers. I mean, mine really aren't, because I don't know how, but, you know, I try very hard to be honest on there, but I also, you know, have a job to do, right? But sometimes it's your most shiny friends who are the ones who need the help. Sometimes it is the people who you in a million years would never think are hurting or going through it that are the ones who need to hear from you. I have a small group of friends. They're small but mighty. And a week won't go by without one of them sending me a text saying, I just want you to know I'm thinking of you today. I just want you to know I love you today. You don't have to text me back. I just want you to know I'm here. And when I was really going through the darkest parts of this, those things literally saved my life, because I knew I didn't have to text them back. I knew I didn't have to have a conversation. Getting text messages is really anxiety producing for some people. And, but those messages were lifesavers. So, you know, you can't take care of everybody, but care for the people around you who you love the most, and just let them know that you love them. It doesn't have to be any harder than that. That's what I'd say.
Wow. I'm speechless. That was so perfect and so spot on. You don't have to do anything but say hi. I'm thinking of you.
It is incredible what that can do for someone. Truly.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. For people that are struggling, you know, it isn't a light switch where you just turn it on and you're like, okay, I'm happy. I love it when people are like, you should smile. It's like, I wish I thought of that. That is a brilliant observation.
Everything's going to be okay. Don't ever say that to anyone ever, unless you can promise it.
I'm going to put that right up there with relax. My husband knows not to say that. It's like, nope, yeah. That was wrong. Yeah. No, but you're right. It isn't a light switch. You've just got to like put one foot, just one, like a toe, right? It's a baby step process. But before you know it, you turn around and you see how far you've come. So Kennedy, I am so filled with gratitude. I'm fighting tears.
Me too. I'm not going to
lie. A little dehydrated. So I think
I'm going to get off here and cry a little bit, but this was really cool.
Thank you so much. This was really amazing. I really
appreciate it. It's my honor. So now we all have to be friends, though. Me and you and your husband all got to go out, since we're besties now. So.
Okay, because this is still being recorded.
That's fine.
Hang on, I'm wrapping this up. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that was our latest episode of Joy Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. You know, I'm sitting here in such gratitude for the powerful and unscripted and just, you know, raw but loving conversation we just had with Kennedy, and really want to remind you to always check in with yourself and know that you are never, ever alone. And there's always someone you can reach out to. I really strongly want to encourage that, and for you to really make, you know, your speed dial list of 3 or 5 people. You know, joy can be found in the smallest of moments. And when you're going through something really difficult, sometimes that can be really hard to see. But I encourage you that I have little things that I do. Sometimes I just get lost in these Instagram videos of puppies being, you know, silly, and that sparks a smile. Or, you know, I'll take a look outside and see something that just brings me joy, or go buy myself some flowers because that brightens my day. Always looking around for things, things that truly light me up and remind me that life is beautiful. Life is messy, but it's so beautiful. And you can find joy even in the midst of a really difficult situation. So my tip of the day to you is to just look really in your smallest of circles for the small moments of joy and anchor to them as you ride out the storm. The phrase "trouble is your transportation" got me through the worst experience of my life. And I lend that to you in hopes that, you know, maybe it helps you through too. Thank you for tuning in to Joy Unleashed. As always, it's my honor to be your host and joyologist, Colleen Greco. Follow me at The Colleen Greco on Instagram for daily motivation and inspiration. And don't forget to leave my show a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, sisters.